someone starts off their marriage saying, in 2 years from now, I'm going to commit adultery. In fact, the decision to be unfaithful is rarely ever a rational choice.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, this is Mark Job. And today I just want to pause and pray for someone out there that is facing a tough decision. There may be some of you that are navigating the crossroads of a tough decision. It may involve your marriage. It may involve your job situation, a relocation, a purchase or selling of a house. But many times we face these crossroads in which we throw up our hands to the heavens and we say, God, I really need your wisdom. And I want to remind you today that James chapter 1 tells us that God gives wisdom to those that call upon him in faith. In fact, he gives wisdom liberally. And I believe that God is ready and willing and desirous to give you direction. It may not always come when you expect it to come. And it may not always come days before. It may come right at the moment. It may come by a prompting of his Holy Spirit, by the counsel of a friend, by direct inspiration from the Word of God. But I believe that God will give you wisdom when you call upon him. So if you're facing a tough, tough decision and have to decide on something major in the next few days, then I want to pray for you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for my friend who right now needs an incredible deposit of wisdom from on high. Lord, you tell us that you give us that wisdom when we call upon you. You tell us that you'll guide us by the power of your Holy Spirit. And so I pray right now, oh, Spirit of the living God, that you would clear the fog, that you would give clear indication, that you would open doors or close doors, that my friend would be able to make a decision that is right on target and have peace in their heart that you have clearly led them. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Straight Talk. Glad to have you back with us. Pastor Mark continues his series called Rock Solid Living today with part two, Thou Shall Not Commit Adultery. We begin our text in the book of Exodus chapter 20, verse 14. Here's Pastor Mark with this edition of Straight Talk.
Father, I pray that in Jesus' name your Spirit would be here. I pray, God, that you would empower me to preach your word with power of the Spirit. I thank you, God, that you have a plan and a destiny for every person's life that is here. I thank you that you are the God that heals, the God that saves, the God that changes, the God that reconciles. I thank you that you are the God of fidelity. I thank you that you are the God of restoration. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you would come this morning with supernatural power, God, and that you would take your word and speak to us in a powerful way that we cannot shake, in a way that only you can speak to us, Father. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus chapter 20, verse 14 says, Thou shalt not commit adultery. We're in a series going through the Ten Commandments. And as we go through the Ten Commandments, some of the commandments are very short, staccato statements that all of us kind of know, but need to be reminded about. This particular commandment is an interesting commandment because it doesn't go into any kind of elaboration on what it means to commit adultery. It's very simple. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, if you were to survey 95% of the people in Chicago, most people in this city would agree that adultery is wrong. You ask someone, hey, what do you think about adultery? They'd say, it's wrong. The public opinion says that once someone has married, that to commit adultery is just morally wrong, spiritually wrong, relationally wrong. Yet as we look at the statistics, and I've I've gone over some of the statistics, and one of the most recent published statistics says that the percentages of marriage that admit to infidelity, either emotional, in other words, an emotional affair or a physical affair, is 41%. Our research continually tells us that 2 to 3% of all children are the product of infidelity. Infidelity is becoming more common among people that are under 30 years old. Why? Well, many experts believe that the increase in cheating is due to greater opportunity, time spent away from their spouse, and young people that develop the habit of multiple sexual partners before they get married. Men are more likely to cheat than women. But as women become more financially independent, women are starting to act more like men with respect to infidelity. The internet, email, and chat rooms are making it easier for people to engage in infidelity. Do you know how many stories that I've heard from people that have gotten reacquainted with high school friends via Facebook and start talking to each other and how you doing? Boy, you look good. It's been a long time, man. Remember when this? Hey, we should get together for a cup of coffee. You're married, I'm married, and boom. No one that's married starts off their marriage saying, in 2 years from now, I'm going to commit adultery. In fact, the decision to be unfaithful is rarely ever a rational choice. Instead, infidelity is usually driven by circumstances and one's emotions. In fact, most people are surprised by their behavior at the start of an affair. Now, today I want to talk to you about three types of adultery. I want to talk to you about physical adultery, emotional adultery, and spiritual adultery. Before I get into those three, I want to say that this is a super important topic because I believe that the effects of infidelity and the consequences of infidelity have repercussions that affect people at a deep, deep level. And so, as we look at the Bible and we look at one of the commandments, a basic commandment, commandment number 7 that says, thou shalt not commit adultery, found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 14. It's also found in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 18, and Leviticus chapter 18, verse 20. In the Old Testament, when someone committed adultery, according to the laws of Scripture, it was punishable by death. You'll find that in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 22. Do you remember the story when the woman was caught in adultery in the times of Jesus? And the leaders of the law dragged that woman out into the public arena. And what did they have in their hands? They had stones. What were they practicing? They were fulfilling the Old Testament law. In the Old Testament it said, if someone was caught in the act of adultery, dragged that person out into the main square or plaza, and that they were to be put to death by stones. That's why Jesus was caught in such a difficult predicament, according to these religious people, because the Old Testament said they're worthy and they should be put to death, yet Jesus was bringing in a gospel that introduced them into grace. Aren't you glad that you live under grace today? There'd be a lot of dead people in our society if we weren't living under grace. But it doesn't take away from the fact that God in all his justice views infidelity and adultery with such disdain because he understands the consequences that that can bring to any family and relationship. So we all understand the fact that at the core issue of adultery is that adultery is the breaking of a covenant. In other words, what adultery is when a married person has illicit sexual relationships with someone that is not that person's spouse. It is breaking of the marriage covenant. Adultery always involves an existing covenant and meeting the needs through an illicit relationship outside of that covenant. I've married a lot of people since I've been pastor for 25 years. In fact, I have a marriage this afternoon, an outdoor marriage. We may be with umbrellas, I'm not sure. There's a couple here. Some of you know them, Raul and Jenna, that are getting married today. They both came here. They got saved here, gave their life to Christ here. They were living together, and they have been more and more realizing, hey, this is, they've had a lot of people telling them get married, and so they're taking that step today at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Almost every marriage ceremony that I do, the bride especially wants to ask me, well, how is the marriage ceremony supposed to go? Give me the details. Funny, the guys never ask that. Hey, Pastor, where am I supposed to stand? Give me the ring. Where's the honeymoon? The women want to know the details, like where do the bridesmaids stand, and is the lighting of the candle before or after the vows, and how do we do the giving away of the bride, and when should we do the music, and how should we do the recessional and processional? And I always tell them this: listen, there's really no right way or wrong way to do a wedding ceremony. Now, there's a traditional way of doing it, and you can look for the traditional way. I'm not the expert on where people stand. Don't ask me about the details of that. All I know is that my part, the core of the wedding, is that you are going to stand face to face with one another, and you are going to promise. Oh, no, no, more than that. You are going to covenant with each other some promises that you will be held to until death do you part. And I'm going to make sure that you're going to say those vows to one another in the presence of God, in the presence of these witnesses. If you want to do cartwheels down the aisle as you come in, if you want to go barefoot and do ballet dance, if you want to do rock music on the way out, I really don't care what you do in all the fluffy stuff. If you want dandelions, if you want roses, it doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is at the core of that ceremony, you are pledging your faithfulness to one another until death do you part. Because there is a covenant that's established.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled, Thou Shall Not Commit Adultery, which is from our current series called Rock Solid Living. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 14. Our message is called, Thou Shall Not Commit Adultery.
I know that when a couple walks out of that building, out of that church, out of that ceremony, that they will have walked out different than they walked in, because now they will be in covenant relationship with one another. This couple is celebrating, what, about a month? 2 months. They're old veterans now. And so whether you've been married 2 months, or whether you've been married 25 years, the heart of the marriage ceremony is that you are pledging, and it happens in every wedding ceremony where you say, I will be faithful to you and to you alone until death do you part. That's a covenant. God has always been the God of covenant. It's not just in marriage. God was the God of covenant with Abraham. God chose a man by the name of Abram and said, I'm going to make a covenant with you. And we call it the Abrahamic covenant. God made a covenant with David, King David. We call it the Davidic covenant. A covenant means I promise to fulfill the things that I have told you I will fulfill, and you in turn are to fulfill your promises to me. God told Abraham, I will make you a mighty nation, and I will bless all the nations of the earth through you. And that's when Abraham had no children. And Abraham married and had a child who had other children. Eventually, they grew into the nation of Israel. And God kept his promise with the entire nation of Israel that they would be his people and he would bless them. And he made and David was part of that. And David's lineage gave birth to Jesus the Messiah. And Jesus the Messiah eventually has blessed the entire earth. And that is God keeping his promise to Abraham, because God keeps his promises. And because God keeps his promise and is a God of covenant, then he asks us to keep our covenants as well. Now, when we violate that covenant, it's called adultery. Adultery is, I've made a commitment to be loyal and faithful to you, but I choose to meet my needs, my most intimate needs, outside of our relationship because whatever reasons have drawn me outside of that relationship. So physical adultery is when a married person has sexual relationships with anybody other than their spouse outside of their marriage. That's called adultery. Mental or emotional adultery. So we all understand that, right? Are we clear on that? No further explanation. That's physical adultery. Then there's what Jesus taught about, where Jesus took it to another level. And you'll find that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 through 28, Jesus talks about emotional or mental adultery. And Jesus speaks to his followers and he says, "You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery." And he's quoting the seventh commandment. And Jesus says in verse 28, "But I say to you, that everyone who looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his own heart." Whoa, Jesus. Now you've just taken this to a whole new level. I mean, we understand having sexual encounter with a woman outside of marriage. But Jesus said, what Jesus was telling them is, I want you to understand that not only is there physical adultery, but before there's physical adultery, there's always emotional or mental violation or adultery as well. He talked about murder, and he said, "Thou shalt not murder." But I say, he who has hatred in his heart towards someone has committed murder in his heart. What Jesus was saying is that you can be an adulterer before you actually commit the act of adultery if in your heart you're already committing that adultery, because it doesn't just happen, it leads up to it. And Jesus is not only looking at the outside. The law looked at the outside. Jesus looked at the heart. Now, it's not saying that to look at a woman and lust after her is the same consequence and severity as the actual act of adultery, physical act of adultery. But what Jesus was saying is that you cross lines within your heart. Some people have argued in the past, well, you know, I can look, I can Google as long as I don't touch. I've heard people say that. Well, you know, I can look, I can, you know, as long as I don't act, I'm okay. And what Jesus is saying, hold on, no. No, wrong. You can't. If you're looking, if you're fantasizing, if you've gone there in your mind and your heart, you've already crossed the lines of an adulterous heart there, because you're allowing yourself to go there. Just like when you have hatred against someone, and you may not physically kill them, but if you hate them in your heart, then you're imagining violence against them. You've already engaged in a murderous act in your own heart. And what Jesus was simply saying is that there's not only the physical act of adultery, but there's the adulterous heart as well that we have to guard against and repent of, just like we have to repent of the physical act of adultery. And by the way, can I just say this? Listen, no one just falls in adultery physically. Unfortunately, I've been a pastor for 25 years and I've had to deal with this situation way too many times. Way too many times. I've had the unfortunate experience of having to sit down with couples while a husband confesses to his wife his adultery, or when a wife confesses to her husband her adultery, and the pain and the shock and the betrayal and the repercussions of that. It's always nasty, heavy, oppressive, difficult. The emotions, the spectrum, the recovery of the marriage, it's always, always extremely, extremely painful. But I want to say that it doesn't just happen. A married man just doesn't go out and, oh, you know, I don't know how it happened. It just never thought about it, never crossed my mind. And, oh, honey, forgive me. It just happened. Oh, it doesn't just happen. There's seeds. There's opening the doors. There's lust. There's fantasizing. There's flirtation that are not bridled. There's conversations that pass appropriate boundaries that are not held. There's lunches with a married woman at work. There's a sharing of emotional heart issues. There's secretive friendships and text and Facebooking and stuff that shouldn't happen, that you're secretively keeping from your spouse. And there's a buildup that's happening there before the actual affair happens. And what Jesus was saying is that it happens in our heart first before we act on it. And so Jesus talks about the physical act of adultery, and then he talks about the mental or emotional act of adultery as well. And by the way, I want to say that I don't have time to get into it in this message, because we just spent several weeks before I left talking about his needs and her needs, right? So we covered a lot of this stuff. And if you weren't part of that series and you're married, I would encourage you to get that series and look at it. But I believe that we can be preventative and proactive at guarding our marriage. And part of that means, just like a dating couple, unless you're intentional and strong about setting boundaries and commitments in advance about the purity of your dating relationship, then chances are you will fall unless you are super intentional about the purity of your relationship. And I believe that the same is true for marriage. That unless you determine in advance that you will guard your marriage and set boundaries and have honesty in your marriage and openness and not keep secrets from each other, then I think you're setting yourself up for a fall unless you determine in advance that's the kind of relationship and marriage that we're going to have. And I believe that that's possible. I believe that every couple, every married couple, needs to engage it with that mentality. And then thirdly, I'm going to tie this all together in a moment, but thirdly, not only is there the physical act of adultery, the mental act of adultery, but then there's spiritual adultery. In James chapter 4, verse 4, the Apostle James addresses people and he says, "You adulterous people," he's talking to the church, "don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think that Scripture says without reason that his spirit has caused to live envies intensely?" James is saying, do you know that you can commit spiritually adultery against God? When you come to God and give your life over to God, you in essence are telling God, "God, I'm in a covenant relationship with you. My life no longer belongs to me. You are the Lord of my life. Your Holy Spirit dwells inside of me. I belong to you, God. You belong to me. And we are in relationship with one another."
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church in Chicago with the first half of his message called "Thou Shalt Not Commit Adultery." It's from his series called "Rock Solid Living." As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.